You're standing right now with 9 delegates from 100 gangs. And there's over 100 more. That's 20,000 hardcore members. 40,000 counting affiliates. And 20,000 more not organized, but ready to fight. 60,000 soldiers. Now there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? The crime syndicates, the police, because we got the streets, suckers!
I shut my eyes again, cause inside my mind I dream of violence and trap to keep me locked inside. I am the same dream of becoming you. Stomping on your face, leaving you in a pool. Can't get it out of my head, cause I'm thinking about you dead. I leave the sign for misery, and these brutal visions are all I see. If I let my sanity slip, you'll be in the ground beneath me. I just want the satisfaction of living your mouth teethless. I'm so sorry about all of this. You didn't do nothing, you're innocent. I just got some shit inside my own head. Something inside me wants you dead.
Yo.
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 Yo. All right. Yo. I can hear you now. Can
What's
you hear
up,
me?
Bro? I can.
Perfect.
Well, so I just hit a snag right as we were all ready to go.
Yeah.
It started pouring.
Oh, fuck
my
me.
Car, so all you could hear is pouring rain. So I'm relocating inside the home. And here I am.
There you go. Yeah, usually it's pouring rain over here, but it's summertime, so it's sunny as shit over here.
That's awesome. So Connor's in Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've only been once, but it was like dead of winter.
Yeah.
So I really didn't get, you know, to go, you know, see what's popping at the pier kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's gloomy as shit during the winter.
Yeah.
We call it the gray.
Yeah. yeah, so fucking Connor's in Washington, and it's, what, 7:08 p.m. there?
Is that right? Yeah, 7:08.
So it's 10:08 here in Long Island. You're talking to me from the brewery you work at?
Yeah, one of the breweries I work at. I work at Fremont Brewing, okay. And I work at Mirage.
Okay.
So I'm at Fremont right now. Fremont's a big, larger craft brewery. Like, we're one of the top 50 in the country.
Oh, wow.
I do a lot of cellar work, packaging stuff. I assist, okay, like, our barrel program and blending and things like that. But over at Mirage, that's, yeah, been kind of a newer thing. I've been doing some assistance with packaging, barrel blending, taproom shifts, just helping my homie out with getting that shit going. Because, one, he's one of the best brewers in the state. And, two, he's incredibly... incredibly supportive of just anybody, yeah, and everybody who, you know, embraces their passions and is doing something for the right reason. Like, I love working with him.
Nice.
And he's a hardcore guy, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we get to talk shit. He, yeah, used to live in Brooklyn for a bit.
Yeah.
I think he worked on the Howard Stern show for a minute.
Really? What's his name?
Yeah. Michael Dempster. Yeah, he wasn't like a host or something.
I think
he was just doing like some behind the scenes kind of stuff. But
nice.
Yeah, Michael's the fucking truth. That's the homie.
That's dope. And so wait, in terms of wine though, because I know you're like a fucking sommelier basically. how, like, you guys don't do wine there, but that's just your own thing you're into?
Yeah. So I've been into wine for a good minute. I'm working on starting a blendery right now, which I'm going to be doing both beer and wine stuff. And at Mirage, we've talked about doing some beer and some wine stuff, doing some hybrids. Like, we got a couple of beers that we're going to be packaging soon that are low ABV grisettes that are rested on wine grapes from a really solid Oregon winery called Swick. Oh. The dude who runs it, Joe, is... again, one of the better winemakers in the whole natural wine movement. So,
yeah. So it's, I'm interested in this. I don't know if other people are, but I don't give a fuck. What is natural wine exactly? Like, I'll tell you. I mean, my general idea of it is, like, I guess if it's orange wine, is it fermented? Is it made from fermented oranges versus grapes?
No. Okay. It's still wine grapes. So in terms of wine, there's basically two types of grapes. There's more than that, but, like, we generally think of red wine grapes and white wine grapes.
Right.
If you do red wine grapes, that's typically long maceration on the skins. You're pulling a lot of color and tannin and stuff like that. White wines, you're not doing that. White wines, you're removing the skins, removing the stems, removing all that stuff, right, and then you're just making a wine out of it. Then you get stuff like rosé and orange wines. Rosé is basically a red wine that you just leave on the skins for a very brief amount of time, and then you pull it off, and then you let that ferment. Orange wine is white wine grapes that are left on the skin for an extended period of time. Wow. So it's still a white wine. Like, you can do orange wine with any white wine grape. So, like, Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling, Chardonnay, any of those. Right. Just leave them on the skins. Pull tannin, pull color, develop really cool, interesting, and dynamic flavor profiles. So right now, I'm drinking an orange wine. I'm drinking a Viña Gonzalez Bastias, I think is how it's pronounced. And then the name of the wine is... Naranjeo,
yeah.
I think I'm not Spanish, so my pronunciation of these names is probably atrocious. But fantastic wine. It's pink muscadel,
damn,
Torrentel, and Pace as the blend.
Hmm.
So 40-40-20.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah,
that's what orange wine is. Okay. White wine that's done like red wine.
And so wait, but, and that's what's that, and that's natural wine.
Well, typically, so if it's an orange wine, it's almost always going to be a natural wine. Okay. But natural wine's kind of a weird thing. Like, some people prefer calling it low intervention wine. Some people call it all sorts of different names: natty, natural,
But the whole idea is you're doing as little to the grapes as you can. You're basically just working with what the grapes give you. So you can go all sorts of different levels with that. You can do super, super low intervention stuff where it's like you're just taking grapes, pressing them, putting them in barrels, aging it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Then there's people who do like biodynamic wines, which are like wines that are farmed and produced around the lunar calendar and stuff.
God damn.
But the whole idea is just like as minimal intervention and involvement as possible on the wines, because a lot of winemaking is a lot of chemicals, blending, lots of balance. Like the whole idea for most commercial wines and even commercial beers is how do we make the most consistent product that somebody can go to a store, they can buy it today, and it'll taste the same today as it will tomorrow, in 2 years, whatever.
Right.
But then they also want to be the same back to back in terms of like vintages. So that way, you know, you buy this year's, you buy next year's, it always tastes the same. When it comes to these like low intervention wines, natty wines, whatever you want to call them,
yeah,
it's really just whatever happened at that moment. And that's kind of the same thing with working with barrel aged beers and wild ales and stuff like that. Is it's like
wild ales?
Wild ales, yeah.
I never even heard that term.
So beers fermented with natural yeast, it could be like mixed culture beers, like beers that have different yeast strains kind of hybridized, blended together from different sources, spontaneous beers, beers fermented from the air and the environment, the native yeast that's on the plants and the wind and the air. Could be stuff like Saisons, my namesake.
Yes. I drink Saisons.
But yeah, that's a brief 101 of natural wine for you.
That's unbelievable. So believe it or not, Connor is also the vocalist of 38 Snub.
Yep.
And that's, this has been a really long time coming. We've been talking about this for like a year.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think this is really the perfect time, especially because... and I don't want to mix up things. I want to talk about 38 and then I want to talk about Beatdown in general. Especially because when I look back at all my... We've talked a lot. I mean, oh, we haven't talked ever, but we talk a lot online. And
well, I mean, we spoke a little bit at Barncore and stuff. Just, you know, the usual formalities of highs and
hellos. Yeah.
We haven't kicked it yet like that.
Right, right, right. For sure. But I'm also, so yeah, I want to talk about 38, what's going on with 38. And I also want to like do some, you know, I want to hear about your background a little bit because it's interesting all the places you're coming from, where you're at now and where you've been before. Well, background and shit. Okay, let me ask you that right now.
Sick.
Where are you from originally?
So I spent almost all my life in Atlanta. Okay. My family's South African, but you know,
Brad, I thought I somehow heard that or you told me at some point. Okay,
yeah, but Atlanta's always kind of been home, like, all my family's still back in South Africa. That's where all my dad's side, everybody there is. My mom and her family, they were Americans, so
okay,
that was the Atlanta connection. And yeah, grew up north side of Atlanta, so. Marietta, Smyrna area.
Okay.
Enjoyed it a lot. You know, it wasn't like the most glamorous place, but it wasn't, you know, some super rough and tough shitty ghetto of the city or anything like that. It was fine.
How did you get interested in hardcore out there? Was there a scene?
That's always been kind of an interesting thing. So like, the way that I got into extreme music was, firstly, I had a brother. I don't know if I've ever mentioned my brother to you. That's a whole crazy story. If you want me to go into that, I can. But I do have
a brother. Yeah, whatever you want to talk about, man. Yeah, tell me.
Cool. So, a little introductory of this whole thing. My mom, when she was in college, she had been dating a guy for several years. They dated through high school, dated into college and stuff. And they eventually decided to, you know, do the do. And my mom got pregnant and the dude was like, oh, I'm not okay with this. So he ended up bouncing. My mom was a smart woman. She was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to take care of this kid. I don't want to fuck his life up. I don't want to fuck my life up. So she was either going to do abortion or adoption.
Right.
And she ended up going with adoption.
Okay.
She met a family and they decided to do an open adoption. So that basically meant kid would be adopted, but the kid would know, hey, you're adopted. We're your adopted parents, and this woman is your mother. This is your biological mom.
Nice.
Yeah. So mom did that. She gave birth to Henry. That's my brother.
Okay.
After Henry was born, then my mom got a job with the Assistance of Mary, and thanks to that, she ended up getting into like a nursing office, even like paperwork or something like that, just kind of an assistant job.
Yeah.
She had a coworker and she was like, you know, you're a beautiful young woman. I know you've been through a lot lately, but I got somebody I want you to meet.
Yeah.
He was like, it's one of my son's friends. And my mom was instantly like red flags because like this woman's son, his name was Chadwick. Chadwick was, my parents have sometimes joked that he was like the precursor to my brother and I. He was like the super punk rock, super anarchist kind of guy, like didn't give a fuck about anything. And lo and behold, that's why he ended up letting a couple of basically illegal South Africans stay with him for a bit during apartheid when, you know, being involved with South Africans was not a good look.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit. He was like, you know, people are people. Everybody deserves a chance.
Right.
Ended up meeting my dad through him. They met at a Waffle House.
Oh, nice. I fucking love Waffle House.
Oh, me too. I miss Waffle House like crazy, dude.
Yeah. It's very disturbing. It should be everywhere. I hate that it's not here. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're talking about serious shit. Go on.
Oh, well, I mean, Waffle House is serious, too.
Right,
especially in our family. Like,
I had it like a year ago, and it fucking was great. It held up.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I like waffles like that, real thin. I don't like this fucking puffy bullshit that my like daughter likes.
Yep.
Fucking Belgian. My dog is being an asshole right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's just I'm trying to get him to be quiet because he's scratching a post. I'm trying to distract him.
Oh, you're all good.
All right. This is why I do it in the car usually, because then the dog won't fucking do this to me.
Oh, if I was home right now, I'd have the cat screaming at me, so A-okay.
Or I could go back to the car. Anyway, but go on, I'm sorry.
No worries. So, parents met at a Waffle House.
Yeah.
They gave birth to me, and then after that, my sister Savannah. After Savannah was born, my parents were talking about it, and they were like, you know, wouldn't it be great if Mary and Greg, the people who adopted Henry, if they could, you know, have a baby of their own? Well, my dad kind of kept on pushing and telling my mom, like, you should totally look into, like, egg donation. So they talked about it back and forth. Mary and my mom were like, you know what? If you're down, I'm down.
Yeah.
They talked to a doctor, and this was, like, 94, 95?
Okay.
Can't remember. But they talked, and the doctor was like, yeah, you know, it could be successful. It could not be successful. You know, kind of an iffy situation. They did it, and Mary ended up having triplets.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So she had three very, very, very happy, healthy little girls. And funny enough...
Wow, happy birthday.
Right? No, wait, yesterday was. Yesterday was their birthday.
Far less.
It is actually Travis and 38 Connor, Snubs' birthday,
I'm so sorry. But who is it?
Travis. Travis and 38. So Travis played drums, now he plays bass for us.
Uh-oh.
But today is his
all right, so birthday. I got to do something with this dog because he's fucking... I'm just going to go outside again.
Oh, you're all good.
All right, we're good.
Woohoo.
Right,
so back on track.
Yes.
How I got into extreme music. It was partially my brother. So my brother was a big part of that. Henry, yes. Yeah. So my brother Henry was the first reason that I got into extreme music. He kind of introduced me to a lot of basic stuff, like a lot of punk, some new metal, stuff like that. I mean, as a kid, we grew up in a time when, like, you'd hear Linkin Park and Korn and bands like that on the radio.
Right.
In Atlanta, we had a radio station called 99X, and they would always play, like, really, really cool shit. Like, they would do demos of, like, grunge bands. They would do, like, live set Sundays, or they would just play, like, old live sets from everybody from garage bands, grunge bands, REM, Nirvana, Metallica, whatever. So we had a really cool radio station with that.
Yeah.
That was also what introduced me to like the Beastie Boys and stuff, was that radio station.
Right.
But I enjoyed all that stuff. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want something more.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was a kid, I had a crush on a girl on my swim team.
Okay.
And we both swam the same stroke. We both swam butterfly.
Mm.
And she was like the stereotypical big titty goth girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the stuff of my dreams as a kid. Mm-hmm. But she was like an extreme metalhead. So like I'd always try to approach her and I'd always try to talk about like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a big metalhead too. And she was like, oh, well, what are you like? And I told her some of the bands and she was like, you know, that's whack.
Like, right.
Oh, shit. Well, what do you like? And then she put me on to Dying Fetus.
Oh, wow.
So that was like my intro into like death metal and stuff. And I was like,
right.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Like, I really got into that. Right. But I also was really into rap and stuff.
Right. Me too.
So I kind of like that holy trinity. I like some punk. I like some hardcore. I like some death metal. I like a lot of rap.
Right.
Well, eventually, I think like 2006, I wanted to go see Remembering Never.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very timely. Rest in peace. They were on tour with a band called Shattered Realm.
Ah.
And they were playing right up the street from my house.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really know who Shattered Realm was, but I knew Remembering Never, and I loved them.
Yeah.
But I eventually checked them out because I was like, oh, they're on the bill. I wonder what this is like. And I was hooked. I was like, this is what I've been looking for.
Yeah.
So from that moment on, I kind of figured out what it was I liked. And then I kind of did the thing that we all did. I'd buy the CD, I'd read the liner notes, I'd look at who does this band fuck with, who influences them. And I'm like, okay, you like this? I listen to that. Like, I kind of like this, but it's not really my thing. Now I listen to something else. Oh, I really like this. How do I get more of this?
Mm-hmm.
So I went down that rabbit hole, and that was also the time of MySpace. So, like, MySpace was a gold mine that people really took for granted. Like, we had so many great bands. Like, if you knew what you were doing, you could find the coolest stuff on MySpace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just like deep dive. I'd be like, okay, I like this band. Who's in this band? I'd check out their pages. I'd listen to stuff they're listening to. Be like, I like this. I don't like that. And built upon that, and eventually I got into Beatdown. As far as Atlanta's scene, though, and like what we had, our scenes were very divided. So you had, like, the city was a lot of punk and metal at that time.
Okay.
Like, you could go down there for, like, the big shows, but there would always be lots and lots of cool underground metal shows. Like, Mastodon was coming up. You'd get all the Savannah bands, like Baroness and Kylesa. They'd come up. You'd get kids from Gwinnett. Gwinnett was really kind of the big hub for hardcore. Like, especially what we think of as Atlanta hardcore, a lot of the legendary bands all came from Gwinnett. So, like, the guys in Foundation...
Mm-hmm.
They came from Gwinnett.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was like Augusta. Augusta was my favorite scene. That wasn't really in Atlanta. That was a little bit closer to like South Carolina. But Augusta was where all the violent shows would happen. So like all the tough guy bands, all the crazy straight edge bands would go there.
Yeah.
Without Remorse played down there.
What?
Yep, without remorse came to Augusta.
Wow. Yeah, they got to do a fucking... everyone's been begging Chris to do a fucking comeback show.
I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So, all right. So you get into it through that. When do you eventually get into, like, being in bands?
I got into being in bands while I was in middle school. So first band I was in was kind of like a precursor to, like, a Day to Remember type bands.
Okay.
We were a pop punk band that played breakdowns.
Okay.
And I was super into, like, at that point, like, all the Tough Guy, Trustkill bands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, all I wanted to do was stuff like Terror. I also listened to a lot of Victory Records bands. So, like, Dead to Fall was another band that at that time I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's
breakdown is supposed to be like.
Right.
But that was very short-lived. We were called Choco Lax.
Choco?
Yep, Choco Lax. Chocolate Laxatives. Oof. Yeah, that was my first band.
Oof. Yeah. Understandable.
Then jumped into... I did a Screamo band for a bit. I was doing bass in that. I did kind of a slightly scene-ish deathcore band. Like, I did some synth work for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I joined another pop punk with breakdowns kind of band later on. But that was a band called X Farewell My Little Viking X.
Mm.
And that was...
Wow.
That was my boy Timmy.
Yeah.
Timmy Starrett. He and I... did that with a bunch of dudes from Florida who they were all from like pretty moshy kind of bands, like kind of bands that would open up for like Red Baron or Bishop or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was us and those guys. Timmy was the main vocalist and he would do a lot of singy stuff. I would do a lot of like keyboard stuff when he was doing the singy stuff. And then when stuff got heavy, I would just do screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first band that I became like a proper upfront vocalist in.
Right.
And then Dylan, the original drummer from Snub, he and I constantly tried to start bands.
Okay.
And all we wanted to do was we wanted to do something dumb and brutal.
Right.
So we were both into, you know, bands like Devourment, Nasty, the Japanese crazy bands like Disconformity, Gorvent, all that kind of stuff. We were like, all right, how we make just like the dumbest, most brutal band we can. And we'd always like bring in friends and people who were like, oh, I play guitar, I play drums, I play whatever. And we'd be like, sick, this is what we want to do.
Yeah.
And nobody would ever know what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So we did like several iterations of this.
Yeah.
And then that all eventually built into becoming Snub.
Okay.
So
Snub. And this is like what year?
Snub? That was 2012. Or the precursor band attempts.
Okay.
Because that was basically from like 2007 until 2007 to 2012, basically.
Okay.
But yeah, we were constantly trying to do something, but we eventually decided, all right, we got it. Yeah. Gonna do a beatdown band.
Right.
Trying to get people, we got our friend Styles. Styles played guitar, and we got our boy Matt Peterson.
Okay.
Now at the time, neither one of them really fucked with beatdown. They knew what it was, and they knew heavy bands, and they liked heavy bands. They like breakdowns.
Yeah.
So as we were like, okay, we want to do this, this, and this, they'd be like, huh? And then we'd be like, oh, you know, we'd tell them something like, think about Harm's Way, Zabalba, right. No Zodiac. Those are the kinds of bands that they're like, oh, of course, of course.
Right.
And then as we got to writing, we would introduce them to stuff like World of Pain, Ruckus, Nasty, Fall Brawl, Old School Fall Brawl, Embraced by Hatred, like all these like mid-2000s dummy bands. Line of Scrimmage was another big one that we were like, this is what we want to do here.
Right.
And then eventually that built into becoming Snub. So the OG Snub demos and stuff had like a very distinct kind of Zabalba-y, really like metal-y kind of tone to them. It wasn't like that like brutal kind of sound that we eventually developed when we brought Cole and Marlon in.
Right.
But yeah.
I haven't heard the demos. They're not, are they online at all?
They were. They were on Stereo Killer. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I only, I can only get that one EP.
Yeah, that's all we have out right now. The original demos were basically the first four songs.
Mm.
And then we wrote Holding Court in the Streets for, like, re-recording and doing all that.
Yeah.
Dylan was the one who came up with almost all of it, and then I just kind of came up with like the bass line, and we you know, we worked with what we had. Like, Dylan wasn't the best drummer. He wasn't a bad drummer, but he wasn't the best drummer.
Yeah.
Which was a big part of why we decided to go for the slam style, because Dylan couldn't do lots of fills and really cool intricate drum things, but he could blast, he could do things like that.
Right. Right.
So it was like, okay, cool. We like these riffs. Let's just do that over the blast. And the natural thing was like, oh, caveman, gutturals, clunky, dumb, brutal stuff.
Right.
It worked. And like, we all love that kind of stuff, but
yeah,
that wasn't what we wanted Snub to be in the end.
Okay. How did you link up eventually with, like, you know, the Northeast Cats and everything?
So when we started up, I had been really, really into Beatdown for a long, 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 long time. Like,
mm-hmm.
Fun fact, TJ from Chain Gang,
yeah,
he and I actually met at a show in Florida way back in the day. I think this was 2010, 2011 we met.
Okay.
He was visiting from Pennsylvania, but we were both there, and we were basically wearing the exact same getup. Camo shorts and the exact same domestic war tank top.
Camo
shorts. We stuck out like sore thumbs.
Yeah.
So we just instantly hit it off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been really into this kind of music forever. And like back in the MySpace days, it's really easy to kind of chit chat with people. Like,
yeah,
oh shit, I like your band. You could get in touch with people, right, pretty easily. It's not quite as easy as it is nowadays. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like Instagram where you can just find anybody and everybody.
Right.
Kind of had to do a little snooping, but
right,
I got to know some cool people through that.
Yeah.
And thanks to that, I got linked up with people up north.
Yeah.
So, like, brought down Vow of Hatred in 2014.
Yeah.
Brought down No Good Deed with them. That was their first
nice
out-of-state run.
Yeah.
So we've always been close. And then when we wanted to go out of state,
yeah,
Jay and Jesse were the first people who booked us. They booked our first show.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Was it a Beatdown Nation show?
Was it what?
Was it a Beatdown Nation show?
No. It was just a Beatdown show. I think it was supposed to be Forced Out, Us, Get Ignorant.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was at the place, which eventually became Kingsland.
Oh, okay.
But that was our first show out of state.
Okay. Kingsland's crazy.
Dude.
You got that one fucking hole right in the middle of the fucking floor.
Yep.
That's awesome. So you came up for that, and then, like, you just kind of kept coming up, bringing guys down. Yeah,
exactly. Like, people fucked with what we were doing, and we loved going up there. Like,
yeah.
Our first show was a free show. It wasn't, like, a super packed out show, but people popped off. People were so happy to have us, and they liked what we were doing. So we got invited to the first Beatdown Nation.
Now, what year was that?
That was 2015.
2015. Okay. Because I was telling you that I think I saw 2019. That was the second time?
Yeah. That was the
third
time we came up for Beatdown Nation, but probably like our fifth or sixth time up to New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we'd played New York a bunch before 2019. Yeah. We got pretty comfortable up there.
That's dope. Yeah, I was watching the video. I just wanted to see like a live set of you guys because I've never seen you before. Before we spoke, it was amazing. It was awesome to see certain people. Like Romper was up there the entire time, like right in front. Oh, yeah.
Dude, I fucking love Romper.
Yeah, I still see Romper all the time at Shakers.
He's holding it down. Man's a legend.
He is a fucking legend. He's the man. He's the best. Mm-hmm. So, what's doing with 38 Stub nowadays?
So, obviously, we're all spread out around the country. So,
yeah,
most of the guys are still in Georgia. Cole, okay. Marlon, and Eric are in Georgia.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, Cole, Marlon, and Eli.
Now, some of those folks are in Kongstad, yeah?
Cole is,
okay.
Yeah, Cole is.
Okay.
Eric doesn't technically play in Snub, but he's kind of an unofficial member. He's always come along with us on the road. He came to Europe with us and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Eric's an unofficial, like, sixth, seventh person in the band. Yeah. He's the homie. But Eli and Marlon play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole plays drums now.
Hmm.
Cole's basically played everything. Cole's played bass at one point. He played guitar with Marlon in Europe. We got back from Europe. He started doing drums. And then if you got a Patreon or you got some like hidden paywall stuff, I got some good stuff I can tell you about.
I do not, but you can just go off.
Oh, I don't think it's appropriate. I think it'll get taken down. We got stories.
Yeah. No, we spoke about having both of you on at some point, but like this was kind of last minute. So yeah. But I'll talk to Cole someday.
Oh yeah. Cole's definitely talking to. He's a fun dude.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a musician. Like,
yo, Kongstad's fire, dude.
So let me keep it 100. I will keep it a Benjamin Franklin on everything that we can talk about. I fucking hated Kongstad when they started. I thought it was the trashiest, dumbest stuff on the planet. That said, Cole thought the exact same thing about Snub before he joined. He was like, what the fuck is this trash? Yeah. Why am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And Eric is the reason that Cole joined Snub, stuck around with it. So, again, shouts out to Eric. But no, I hated Kongstad before Cole joined. And when Cole joined, I gave him so much shit. But that new EP they did,
yeah,
it's so much fun. It's infectious. It's
yeah, good. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, like, you're I the real get enough of it. Yo, you're I the real do bro. Listen to it. And I don't listen to much. Like I really don't listen to very many new bands nowadays. Like almost all I listen to out here is doom and drone. Like that's what makes sense out here.
Right.
So like hardcore, not so much. I still love it. I'm still about it, but yeah. Kongstad has a special place in my heart now. Yeah. Shouts out to Cole, Gunner. Shouts out to all of them. These guys are killing it. I'm so proud of what they've done. Cole's done a great job on the riff front. He's really kind of brought an element of stuff that he always wanted to do with Snub, but we wouldn't let him. Because it was like, oh, this is a little too metalcore, a little too, like, moshy. Like, it's not ass-beatery enough.
Right.
So then he finally had an outlet for all his riffs, and it was great.
Yeah. So, but back to Snub. Is anything popping off? Are you guys got any plans for anything right now?
So.
Yeah.
We do. We are currently writing. We've been writing forever. Like, everybody's heard it. Everybody's heard different things that we've worked on. Like,
I have
been lots of... You have not I sent you something just now.
What?
Yeah, check your Instagram.
All right.
Yeah, I would highly recommend checking it out. I sent you
a
couple of clips.
Oh, I you know, I was at dinner when you sent it. I didn't look at it.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
But those are kind of a little more of like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So I can't give any exact dates. There's no exact dates on anything. We're just working on stuff, but everybody wants to do stuff now.
Okay.
Like everybody's realizing that everything's at a point where it makes sense for a band like Snub to do what we do.
Yeah.
Like that'll be a nice segue into kind of discussing the current state of things, but
sure.
There's so many great bands out right now that are either doing something along the lines of Beatdown or were influenced by Beatdown in some way, shape, or form, you know? Even the top dogs.
So, remember that list you sent me about the three different flavors
That's of right. Beatdown? Yep.
Can you get into that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for anybody listening, I don't know if you saw this. It circled around for a little bit. Like, I know Jake shared it. Larkin shared it.
Yeah.
Ralph from Tin Slug shared it. Like,
yeah.
Got into the discussion with everybody. But the way that I see it is that Beatdown as a style of hardcore kind of shoots off in three different directions. Like, you have your more hardcore-rooted bands.
Right.
You've got your more metal rooted and influenced bands, and then you have the bands I consider like the brutal bands. So right. If you look at like the original kind of like the bands that were building and what would define Beatdown and stuff,
yeah,
you can kind of see that lineage.
Yeah.
So a band like Denied.
Yeah.
Denied is very much a perfect example of a Beatdown band that is very directly influenced by hardcore.
Right.
Then you got bands like Irate, which people argue, like there's people who say, oh, Irate's a hardcore band. Irate's a metal band. Right. Irate's whatever.
Right.
They did the dumb, brutal thing, but they were so much more metal influenced.
Yep.
They brought in all that guitar technicality, the riff wizardry, all that cool stuff. And then you had bands like One Second Thought that were more just brutal. They were more just like the idea of crushing aggression and stuff like that.
Huh.
So you take those three elements and you can kind of trace all the different bands kind of back to that. So like if you look at bands right now, like the three bands that I think are the best representation of the current state of Beatdown would be Targeted, Chains of Misery, and 10 Slugs.
Okay.
Targeted, very easily a hardcore-rooted Beatdown style band. Like, you can still hear all the hardcore influence. Chains of Misery, lots of metal influence. It's very tight, it's very polished, it's very precise and focused and direct, and it's great. Then you got a band like 10 Slugs. 10 Slugs is just ridiculous. Tin Slugs is definitely in that brutal Beatdown kind of style.
Yep.
So like even if you look at OGs, like the old school, you know, getting into bands like Bulldoze and Next Step Up and stuff, you know, Bulldoze was a hardcore band.
Yeah.
They just did it a little harder than everybody else.
Right.
Then you had bands like Fury of Five. Still a hardcore band, but they had so much more like metal and attack to them, or like All Out War. And then you had Next Step Up, which was just dark and punishing and kind of menacing. So you took those kinds of things and you just kept on evolving off of it. So like the way that I see it is that each of these generations of Beatdown shoot off of those three branches. Right. So like Snub would be a part of kind of that more brutal style of Beatdown. Body Bag, which was ex-members of No Zodiac, very metal influence. Band like No Good Deed. Like No Good Deed definitely still had a lot of both elements of hardcore and metal to them.
Yep.
Strength Through Suffering, very, very clearly a hardcore rooted band. Like, you can look at all these different bands and you can kind of see where they would fit into the evolutionary tree, as it were.
So what's the common denominator, though?
So the common denominator there is that Beatdown's a style.
Okay.
So all of them are doing their own version of a style of hardcore to me. Mm-hmm. Again, this is just to me. I think the best Beatdown is a style.
Okay. Like, versus a genre? Versus a genre?
It's both.
Okay.
But I don't think that there's too many bands that represent Beatdown as a genre as well as there are bands that represent Beatdown as a style of hardcore.
Okay.
Like, if I think about Beatdown as a genre, the bands that come to mind are Cease to Exist, Vow of Hatred, Betrayed by All. Like, those to me represent the genre of Beatdown. Like, the brutal Beatdown bands that I talk about, those would probably be the bands that would best fit into the actual Beatdown genre.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, a lot of the other bands, you can kind of see them going either like more hardcore, more metal, either direction with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, like, you know, you've spoken about Beatdown so many times, and you've been easily the most eloquent person to try to, you know, explain the question of Beatdown. I think you come to it from such a, you know, well thought out place.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I didn't grow up with it with the same accessibility that a lot of my friends up north did. You know, like, I know so many people up north who it was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go see Without Remorse tomorrow. Like, that's no big deal. That's just a normal thing for them. Or like, oh, you know, I know people who went to Castle Heights. I know people who went to Red Zone. I know people who, you know, those were just local shows for them.
Yeah.
For me, that was like the coveted thing, you know. I know people
interesting
who got to see Built Upon Frustration. I know people who got to see No Retreat when they started up. Like, all this stuff I didn't have that access to, so I didn't get to look at it as just like, oh yeah, this is just my scene, this is just normal. This was for me definitely a passion thing, so I looked at it much more appreciatively than I think a lot of people do. And I think for that reason, I'm able to kind of see that Beatdown is more than just dumb, heavy mosh music. You know, there is some intentionality to it. Like, how do you want people to mosh? At what times do you want people to mosh? Like, everything from the music theory elements of it, in terms of, like, what keys you're playing in, what tuning you're playing in, how you structure your phrasing with instrumentation around drums. Those kinds of things dictate a lot of elements of what mosh and what beatdown should be. And that can be set for both hardcore, metal, all of it.
Now, does, like, crowd reaction add to whether a band is beatdown or just heavy hardcore?
I don't think so at all. Like, okay. I've seen metalcore bands, like Christian metalcore bands growing up in Georgia, they would have wilder shows than whatever you can imagine.
Right.
Like, even crazier than all the stuff that was happening up north. It was different. It wasn't the same, but it was chaotic and crazy, and people would go off the wall for it.
Huh.
But then I've also seen really brutal, really heavy, really thugged out bands that, you know, they don't get too much of a response.
Okay.
I don't think that the crowd participation necessarily defines it. And an easy example is, look at Crowd Deterrent. Every Crowd Deterrent show of all time, every video you ever see of them, it's a fucking shit show. It's a war zone. And they are not a beatdown band. They're a hardcore band. Like, that is quintessential perfect hardcore to me. And then you got bands like, if you watch the 1 Second Thought video, there's a 1 Second Thought set live on YouTube. If you look that up, there's not too much crowd participation. People aren't doing too much. People are going off when they're going off, but, you know, it's not like fist fights, knockouts, and tons of crazy shit.
So it just people doesn't matter. Like, if you heard a record, you know, you would say this is Beatdown just based on the sound. It has nothing to do with seeing it visually or what the fuck's going on.
Exactly. Because, like, if you watch a video without sound of somebody's set, you could think a million different sounds. Like, you turn off the music to a crowd deterrent video, you would probably assume that that band sounds like Vow of Hatred. Or Everybody Gets Hurt. It's another great example. All their footage, always crazy, always insane. Shows are always popping off.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Everybody Gets Hurt was a Beatdown band? I don't think so. I think they're just a really good hardcore band. I don't think the crowd participation defines Beatdown, but I think it is an important component to it.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because the people that are crowd participants and love that kind of music are also the people booking the shows. So it just so happens that it all kind of comes together.
Definitely. I've always said this about Beatdown, and this will kind of tie into like the best and worst thing about it as a scene is that it is the easiest scene to be a part of and to get into.
Right.
The only barrier for entry is, are you okay with the sound and are you okay with the violence?
Right.
If you're okay with those two things, you're golden. You're probably going to be fine. People are probably going to be okay with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have kind of the same status that like hardcore has. Like,
right.
And I don't want to say this is like a shit talking thing. I think there's a lot of good to it in hardcore, but the gatekeeping nature of it, where your presence and participation is really going to determine what your, you know, value and what you're saying about the scene, the bands, what's happening is, you know,
100%. Yeah.
And Beatdown, you can go to like one or two shows and you can hold it down. You can be the toughest dude in the room and people are going to fuck with you.
Yeah.
You go to one or two hardcore shows, you may be the toughest person in the room, but you're not the person that anybody gives a shit about. Nobody's going to take your input seriously. They're going to trust the scrawny kid who's going to every single show, who's taking the hits, who's going up, who's dealing with the trash. Like, they don't have to be big, tough, macho dudes to be accepted. They have to be involved. And I respect hardcore for that. Like,
and you know, I know that. You know what I mean? Like, when I went, that's a good draw. But, you know, when I first came around Long Island, like, and I was like, shit, I want to be a part of this, you know, like, it's popping off here, you know, and I just moved here and whatever. I don't want to get into my shit. It's not about me.
Yeah, but love to hear it. Go on ahead.
But the point is that when I went out, and I think I've said this before, and I went for the first night and saw what was going on, you know, I knew, like, I have to contribute positively to this scene, you know, in some manner. You know what I mean? You have to be an active participant. Exactly what you're saying. You know, and that's when I thought of the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on that I can kind of, you know, what I wanted to do was just help broadcast what was already happening. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
In a way that other people weren't, you know. But, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. It's funny because I always link it to AA. Like, in AA, you're supposed to have, like, a job. You don't, you're not supposed to just go there. You know what I mean? You have to like contribute in some manner, you know. Anyway,
no, not just anyway. That's a very important way of looking at it. Yeah. That's absolutely true. And I wish to a certain degree that Beatdown had a little bit more of that. Like, as much as I love that we're opening and embracing of people, I don't like the fact that we're open and embracing to a degree that a lot of really goofy and cringy people can just like come in. And like, this isn't to talk shit on wrestling or anything like that,
a lot of people who get into beatdown come from like a background of, oh, I liked wrestling growing up as a kid. I'm okay with, you know, getting hurt. I'm okay with hurting people.
Yeah, I mean, I do find, like, sometimes when I think about it and I see it, you know, I still go to shows pretty often and, you know, at Shakers and whatnot. And it's like, something about it reminds me of Fight Club in a cathartic way. You know what I'm saying? People are here to hit and be hit. You know what I mean? And it's certainly obviously related to the music. I'm not saying it's not, but there's this extra thing going on there where people are going there because they want to fuck people up. And some people just want to get fucked up too. And like, it becomes like kind of a deeper physical, mental thing.
Right. Now, that being said, that's actually one of the things that I'm not the biggest fan of these days. I think my big issue with kind of what's been going on in the world of beatdown and heavy hardcore, and why I think there's such an important distinction and why so many bands are distancing themselves from beatdown, is that there is a loss of the intention of the music.
Yes.
The music should dictate what's happening. And so many of these people who are going to these shows, especially for quote-unquote beatdown bands and stuff like that, like, they're just going there to hurt people. They're not going there for the music. They're not going there because of the sound or the style. They wouldn't care. They just want to go and hit somebody.
Right.
There's something appealing to that, and there's something good about having that kind of an outlet. But if that's your goal, you know, just take up, like, mixed martial arts, go play rugby, go do hockey, go do something else.
Right.
Let the music be the driving force, you know? Like, if the band's going hard and the music is hard, fucking pop off. Go crazy.
Right.
But I see so many videos of, like, an empty room and a band playing just dumb, slow, boring, heavy breakdowns, and people just trying to murder people. It's like, why? What's making you want to do this? Because it ain't the music.
Right.
And I'll be straight up. I don't like most bands that play anything close to down tempo. I don't like slow breakdowns. I don't like heavy music like that. Like, that ain't my shit. If I want to go mosh, I want to listen to something hard. I don't care if it's beatdown. I don't care if it's hardcore. I don't care if it's like punk or whatever. Like, Conservative Military Image. It's one of my favorite bands right now.
Hell yeah.
You think that they're a beatdown band? Fuck no. But you think that I'm going to go to that show and I'm just going to, like, skank around? Fuck no. I'm going to pop off. I'm going to have fun. But, and again, big but, it's about the music. Not the interest of the act of violence.
Right.
And I think that right there is kind of what's detracted from beatdown for so long, is that people just go to these shows and they see, like, oh, it's these goofy kids just kind of crowd killing and like swinging at each other, and it's like, I don't know if I want to be a part of this. Then you got bands like Never Ending Game, Power of Fear, Gridiron. You got so many of these bands, and all of them bring in, I mean, one of my favorites right now, Missing Link.
I was just gonna say, I was like, oh, you didn't say Missing Link. I was just
Don't worry. Not leaving them out.
Yeah.
Love Missing Link.
Yeah.
All these bands are bringing that kind of brutal aggression to the table. Yeah. They're not calling themselves beatdown, and I think it's very smart. Number one, most of them aren't beatdown bands. Most of them aren't trying to be beatdown bands. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to be great, violent, and heavy hardcore bands.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and we'll get into Power of Fear with this one, is that when they were No Good Deed, they were very distinctly camped in with beatdown bands.
Yeah.
And as much as we, you know, Romper, Lorcan, so many other people are in love with this kind of music, a lot of people are not. A lot of people do not fuck with it.
Yeah.
And for that reason, a lot of people have been like, huh, I want to play stuff like that, but I don't want to be associated with that.
Right.
And that's kind of become the unfortunate thing. And I think what we need to do for Beatdown to get better is to, first off, acknowledge that's an offshoot of hardcore. Like, unless you're one of those bands doing that brutal sound and style that we talked about, mm-hmm. that you could just genuinely be like, this couldn't be described as anything other than Beatdown.
Right.
You probably shouldn't be calling yourself a Beatdown band. Like, Chain Gang. Chain Gang doesn't call themselves a Beatdown band.
Right.
They aren't. They don't claim to be. They don't have a goal of being one. They just want to do, I think, Florida fight music is their thing.
Yes.
But that's their goal. That's the intent. You know? Unless you're doing a sound that couldn't be anything other than Beatdown, don't try to call yourself it. Call yourself a hardcore band. It'll be much better for you, and it'll be much better for the scene. Because people want that kind of sound. Like last night, Cole went to a local show in Atlanta. He saw Knife Wound, Out of Pocket, a couple other bands, a new band. I think they're called Get Buck Played. But throughout it, people were really fucking with that, like, more heavy, dumb, clunky sound. Yeah. Like all the bands that were playing kind of had that sound and style. And the crowd ate it up. And most of these bands aren't calling themselves Beatdown bands. Like, Out of Pocket doesn't claim to be a Beatdown band as far as I know. I've only ever heard them be described as a hardcore band.
Right.
I think that kind of a move is going to be great for both sides, because I think hardcore people really want this kind of sound in their life.
Right.
I think they love those bands. Like, if you listen to Never Ending Game, Bleeding is basically just a Denied song.
Yeah.
I think it's Stand Strong. I think they're the same thing in the beginning part.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if when they were writing Bleeding, they were like, yo, Denied? Let's do that. And I know a couple of them love that kind of stuff. Like,
sure.
When Just Another Gig happened for the first time out here in Tacoma, Bill from Neverending Game and I were right up front just tearing it up during a band doing a Bulldoze cover. Like, it's not like people are ignorant to the sound. They like the sound.
Right.
They just don't like what comes with it.
Right.
Because
do you think it's because it's limiting?
I don't think that it's limiting. I think that people would be okay with it. I think they just find the people involved to be kind of cringy.
Hmm.
And I hate saying that, but it's kind of true.
Yeah. Huh.
And that's not the wine talking. I've been saying that for a hot minute. As much as I love Beatdown, as much as I love being a part of it, I am self-aware enough to know that, like, hey, a good bit of this is kind of goofy. A good bit of it is a little lame.
Yeah.
And, like, let me be 100% honest. I blame myself and Snub for a lot of the really cringy, goofy elements that have happened to Beatdown.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So for a while, from like 2016 to 2018, there were so many bands who were calling themselves Slamming Beatdown.
Okay.
When we called ourselves that, the whole idea was like, okay, we're trying to be like bands like Without Remorse, One Last Victim from Japan. Bands like that. Bands that had both these really brutal, slammy, brutal death metal elements and beat down hardcore. What it kind of became was like deathcore that had lots of pause, mosh call, slow, quote-unquote, beatdown part. It sucked. And so many of these bands were calling themselves that, and so many of these bands absolutely loved us. And, like, I've met a bunch of those people, and I like some of them.
and a lot of them have moved on from it. Even Snow has kind of moved away from a lot of the slam stuff. Like, since Dylan left the band, like, we've been able to experiment more with more hardcore intricacies and more of what we always wanted the sound to be, which was something much more akin to, like, the really brutal, dark bands from Japan. And nowadays, we've even been experimenting with some doom elements and stuff.
I mean, I always think of, when I think about you guys, I can't not think about Kicking Indoors.
Yeah.
And there's such a big, to me, a big hip hop influence in it. And I love that.
Definitely. You know, there's a huge hip hop influence. And shit,
the Georgia sample.
Mm-hmm.
That's like an anthem, dude.
Thank you.
Do you not feel that about it?
Say it again.
Do you not feel that way about it?
Oh, I definitely feel that way about it. It's one of the few songs that, like, I still have, like, really infectious feelings for.
Yeah. So good. I play it every once in a while. I just got to hear it.
No worries. A lot of people do. Yeah. We all especially enjoy hearing, like, our live sets.
Yeah.
Like, the recordings we ended up with were like, eh. They're fine. People like them. So there's people who absolutely love the recorded version. And shout out to our boy Scott, who recorded it for us. He did the whole thing for us in like a day and a half of recording. I think we did a day of instruments and then vocals for a day. And it took him like 2 weeks to mix and master it for us. And he did it for like $100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So shout out to him for it. But it wasn't the final sound. That wasn't the goal.
No.
And I can safely say that what we're doing now is much closer to what we always wanted it to be. Okay. The idea was always just emphasis on the brutality. Like, when you think about the word brutality and you think about bands that have that kind of connotation, like, it's not just beatdown. Like, that word associates into genres like slam, like brutal death metal, like hardcore, like war metal, black metal. Like, there are brutal bands in every sound and genre.
Yes.
That's really what we wanted to be, was the most brutal band we could be.
Yeah.
And I think now we're really hitting our stride with that. Like, the stuff we've been writing, the stuff that we're focusing on, and our intention with stuff is very clear. It's very focused, very precise, and we're super happy about it. It took way too long to get to this point. The last thing we recorded and dropped was Paid in Blood in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to re-record that. We're very excited about it because, yeah, like, even since we had recorded it, like, playing it live, we always did it a bit different. Like, we sped it up. We realized, like, certain parts could be shortened. We focused on, like, lyrical content, like, actually fleshing out the main section instead of it just being grunts and gutturals. Like, hey, let's try to make it more hardcore feeling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
Did you say before? I don't feel like you did, but are you guys planning to? I mean, sounds like you're going to record.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say like how many songs or whatever. I don't want to put your feet to the fire. And are you planning to play again live afterward?
So we're planning to do. The first thing that we're definitely going to do is going to be a single release. Okay. We're going to drop a song called Word is Bond that we've been working on for a while.
I already love it.
That's sold. one of the songs sold from the Brooklyn show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're doing that one. We're doing another new one. Uh-huh. I think we might re-record Paid in Blood for that.
Okay.
And we've been talking about doing a demo. Not a demo, a cover of something just out of pocket. Something very different.
Yeah.
From the usual snub association.
Okay.
But we are going to do the single first. So that's going to happen. After that, no idea when, but we'll do more. And as far as playing live, we will play live again.
I mean, you guys got to come back to fucking New York. I think you guys on Long Island is going to be fucking crazy.
Dude, I get hit up so often by people asking us to play all over the place. Even places that, like, back in the day, nobody fucked with us. Nobody wanted us.
Yeah.
Washington State's a good example of that.
Yeah.
People out here despise us. People had nothing good to say about us. Huh. Nowadays, like... I go to shows, I meet people, I talk with people. Gerardo and his wife, Cecily. Gerardo was in Body Bag. He lives out here, too. I see them from time to time, and whenever we're all at shows, they'll introduce me to people and be like, oh, yeah, this is Connor. He did vocals in Snub. And people are like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I fucking love your band. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Last night, you know, Cole was at that show. Cole wrote up a really good status, like... This really, really was fitting for, like, where things are at, what's happening, kind of the state of things. I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
Let me pull that up.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he said it better than I can say it about stuff. Quote, last night was like a movie. To see that many kids and new faces show up to a beatdown show in Atlanta on a Thursday night is truly insane to me. 38 Snub fought such an uphill battle here for so long because the people who sat at the cool kid table didn't fuck with us and we had to get ours out the mud. We got made fun of, shit-talked, ridiculed online, played empty venues to three people in our own hometown. Beatdown was definitely not the cool thing to be doing. We were always Atlanta's most hated. To see all these younger kids showing respect to 38 and citing us as an influence or even their introduction to hard music honestly doesn't feel real sometimes. To know that what me and my brothers spent years and years doing actually made an impact on people that led them to start their own bands is all I've ever wanted out of this music shit. All the love and respect to the guys in Knife Wound for being the driving force right now in Atlanta for this thing of ours. Atlanta on top. So that's what Cole said. Knife Wound straight up is one of the better bands doing this. Okay. Again, I'm going to keep it a buck. Do I like Knife Wound? I like them as people, but their sound just ain't for me.
Okay.
I don't like it. And again, it's nothing towards them. It's not a spit at them. Yeah. Just because I don't like their sound doesn't mean that I don't like them as people.
Sure.
I haven't personally met them yet. But yeah. Cole loves these guys, and they love us, and they are really doing great stuff.
Yeah.
I think that they are probably going to end up doing some of the best stuff to come out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's cool. They kind of bring a little bit of everything that people in Atlanta have always fucked with. It's got some metal stuff to it. It's got some breakdowns. It's got some hard parts. And one of the good things about it is that it's promoting inclusivity in the scene, which I don't know if that's just like Seattle talking or if that's like a genuine feeling for me.
No, that's not. No, that's a thing everywhere.
But things are changing. People are becoming more welcome. And I've always wanted people to be welcome at these shows. Like, again, the beautiful thing of Beatdown is, are you okay with the music and are you okay with the violence? If you are, I don't give a shit who you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care how you choose to identify. Come on in and have fun. I guess if I was going to wrap it up,
okay,
what I'd first like to say is thank you. Thank you to everybody who's, you know, fucked with Snub for so long. Like, I know that we have always promised new music and we have always worked towards new music and we haven't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about that, but thank you for, you know, sticking with us. Thank you to Jay and Jesse for their endless support, and Massa for always booking us, for always holding it down for us and taking care of us. Thank you to the Pittsburgh guys. Thank you to all the bands we got to play with and got to tour with and stuff. Like, Thank you to Blackwater from Indiana. Thank you to Mercy Blow from, I guess, Philly and, God, what's that other state there? Delaware. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, we got to tour with them, yeah. And they did not want to tour with us at first. It took Dylan trying to, like, smooth things over with them because they were not happy about my choice of words at a show we played. And Dylan was like, no, it's okay. It's okay. He's actually gay. Like, it's okay. Don't worry. So that eventually smoothed over. And then we went on tour and we all realized, like, hey, you know, we can all get along.
How has that been?
What?
Being gay in the scene.
Oh, God. Great question. So yeah. I personally am not fully gay. Okay. I've never been fully gay, but I've never formally, like, came out. Everybody's just always known that, like, mm-hmm. I'm me and I have my interests. For me, it was never really a problem, but it's been really nice for a lot of people I know who have eventually come out and been like, hey, you know,
yeah,
you and Snub, like, you guys actually made me feel a little bit better about who I am and how I was feeling about things, because like, not all of us in Snub are hetero straight dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one who has not exclusively been with all natural genetic women, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been an okay thing for me. I've never had any discomfort with it, and truthfully, nobody's ever given a shit. Like, yeah, nobody's ever been like, oh, you're gay?
Yeah.
Fuck you, I'm not gonna be friends with you. Like, nobody ever cared. But I also never kind of, like, I didn't make it, like, my personality. I didn't put it at the forefront that, like, oh, hi, I'm Connor, and, you know, I like men, women, trans people, like, I like everything. Like, it wasn't like that. It was just, I'm me. And then usually somebody would be like, oh, yeah, and Connor's our gay guy in the band.
Yeah.
And I was always kind of the butt of the joke of it, and that kind of sucked. But at the same time, I'd rather it be me who gets kind of thrown under the bus. Like, I'm a big dude. I can handle myself. I'd rather somebody do that with me than do it with somebody who can handle themselves. Like, I don't take for granted the comfort that I have in the scene and the acceptance that I have experienced, because it genuinely isn't like that for everybody. And that sucks.
Yeah.
And again, going back to that whole inclusivity thing, like, Snub has never promoted themselves as, you know, an inclusive and accepting band. Like, that's never been our thought. We've always been a band that's about our music and our sound, but we genuinely are accepting people. Like, mm-hmm. like I said, I'm not the only person in Snub who's mm-hmm. ventured off the path, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all very comfortable with everybody. And truthfully, as long as you're not a piece of shit about it, mm-hmm. you're not a piece of shit to other people,
yeah,
then we're all good. Like,
yeah.
I fully support people's decision to call themselves what they would like, to identify how they feel comfortable, and to be their genuine self. But again, we've never promoted that in music, and we've also never really taken an anti-stance to anything. Like, we've never been a band that's like, oh, fuck cops.
Right.
Like, none of us like cops. None of us want anything to do with them. Right. But we're not a political band. We're not a band that's going to, you know, do anything off of those kinds of messages.
Yeah.
So, although we're not a political band or a band that has any agenda or anything, just be yourself. It's really all that it comes down to. Don't try too hard. Just be honest with yourself.
and be comfortable. You know, if you're not comfortable somewhere, get yourself out of there. Say something. Don't force people to change what they're doing for you. But be aware that, like, if you're in a place that's inappropriate for you to be, you can get out. Like, nobody's going to force you to stay. Like, if you go to a show and somebody says something on stage that you're not okay with, don't be pissed at the band. Don't be pissed at everybody there. Just get out of there. Go home.
Yeah.
But if you're in a band, be aware of the power that your words have. Like, I have definitely said some things on stage that are not reflective of my views and feelings of inclusivity. Mm-hmm. I've definitely said some pretty off-the-cuff shit. Mm-hmm. Do I regret it? No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's just music. It's antagonization. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to get people to go off and go crazy and be pissed and mosh and mm-hmm. want to beat up on their friends. Like, I'm encouraging that. Of course mm-hmm. I'm going to be provocational. Of course I'm going to be antagonistic. But at the same time, I am mature enough and I am self-aware enough to acknowledge that, hey, there is a boundary and I need to be mindful and respectful of it.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be my last podcast ever.
You think so?
I feel that way. I feel like this is, I can't top this.
Oh, I'm sure you could. I think you got me. No. You're very smart, that was a really good
conversation. No. We've talked for so long, you know what I mean? Like, before.
Oh, totally. I remember when you did your first episode. Like, as soon as McCarthy shared it, I was like, all right, let me see what's going on here.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, whatever.
No.
We'll talk another time.
You deserve to talk. This is both of our show right now. So you go on ahead. Yeah, tell me more.
Like, a lot of it, like, sometimes people want to do it, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to do it. But for me, the most important thing is for us to have, like, a good, fluid conversation. You know what I mean? I don't know where I was going with that, but... Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, honestly, because not only do I think that was a great conversation, but like I said, I feel like if there's a common theme with everything I've done, if you listen to the first to the last, you know, it's about the beatdown thing. And I feel like, you know, you really gave the last words, the definitive, this is what beatdown is. This is how I feel about it. And I think that's really, I would deem you a expert on the topic.
I appreciate that immensely.
But, you know, I don't know. I did closure. So I feel like maybe it's...
Hey, you know what? Maybe it's the end of a chapter, but maybe right. It's not the end of you doing podcasts. Like, yeah. Maybe this can be the opportunity for you to branch out into other areas beyond just beatdown. Right. Like, that was a big thing that you talked about before. Like, you've always mentioned that a lot of what you do is focused around Long Island. And Long Island's always been, like, home to us. Like...
Yeah,
some of my closest friends and people that I call family grew up there. Like some of the most important people in my life still live in Long Island or are from Long Island.
Yeah.
Like that is definitely an important thing. Like, God, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Like Lorcan, for example, he's always been a huge fan of Snub. He's always been supportive of us. And now he's doing one of our favorite bands.
Yeah.
Targeted is incredible. Like, they're genuinely a great band. They're one of the best in the style, moving it forward. And then even outside of that, I love the guys in Koyo. Like,
At first, I
didn't like that band. Again, that was one of those bands I was like, yo, this is fucking corny as shit. And then something hit. And I was like, fuck, I get it. And their guitar player, Harold, he's always treated me like a homie. Like, he's always been super accepting. He's always been super helpful. He did a flyer for us when we did our European tour with Surgeon Fury. And earlier this year, they played out in Seattle. And we got to hang out. We chopped it up. We talked about things. Like, talked about
you know, what it's like doing this kind of music, various stories from the years. Yeah. Oh, fun fact, Joey, the vocalist, I think his name is Joey, right?
Yeah, it's Joey.
Yeah. He was supposed to go down with Detriment when they played the house show at Kohl's with Laid to Rest that we booked.
Wow.
Yeah. So as soon as we were talking about it, he was like, yo, wait a minute, didn't you guys book Laid to Rest and Detriment?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, fuck, I was supposed to go to that. Heard it was insane.
No, again, Joey's super... Yeah, he's down, man. Like, I remember
Blood Runs Cold is playing
or something, right? Yeah, he was going off, and Blood Runs Cold, and I think he has a label. I don't want to misspeak, but it's like 51 something.
I think it's 51st state.
There you go. But he's putting out Jimmy Longspa's new band, Life Taken.
That dude is so fucking cool too.
That's Jimmy?
Another one. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He's kind of an unsung hero, and I'm glad that, like, nowadays he's really, like, gaining the positive attention that he deserves. He's one of the best examples of somebody who's, another thing about me besides being gay is that I am autistic, and not like the cool kind of autistic that people deal with, like, nowadays, where it's like, oh, I like don't want to deal with my issues, so I'm just gonna say I'm autistic. I was like the lame kind where I was like in special classes, so that sucked. But you know, he's one of the coolest dudes who's embraced that, and not only embraced it, but like just fucking championed it and made it his own thing. Now, I think that he has an Instagram title as something autistic.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that. If it isn't, just edit this part out.
Oh, he is certainly. No, it's
the autistic god. I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, you know, shouts out to this guy. Jimmy's the autistic god.
And honestly, he let, what's up, Jimmy? And Jimmy let me hear the demo for Life Taken.
Yeah.
And unless they changed it, I think one of the beginning of one of the songs, he's like, he shouts out all the autistic kids at the scene, which is great. Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, like, we're all, you know, as I say, it's a spectrum kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we're all different.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up very self-aware of it. So I was like, fuck. Like, mm-hmm. I always looked at how I was speaking, how I was presenting myself, how I was doing basically anything. And I'd be like, oh, shit, like, I sound super autistic, or, like, I must be coming across this type of way to people. And it's a very weird thing to kind of navigate. And, you know, it's cool that it's become more acceptable.
Yeah.
And I want people who genuinely are anything that they are, like, gay, straight, non-binary, trans, autistic, whatever you are, be it. Embrace it. Be yourself. Don't fake the funk. Just be yourself. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of people fuck up and beat down too.
Mm-hmm.
So many people want to be, especially. Yeah. So many people want to fit into a niche. They want to be a part of something. They want to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That's all well and good. But if you're just always trying to be accepting, you're just trying to be somebody that people, that you think people want you to be, then you're never going to be anything. Because the problem is, you're not going to feel any self-fulfillment. If you're not really feeling it for yourself, nobody else is going to feel it.
Hell yeah.
So,
if
this is the last Angry Young Man podcast, sick. I don't want it to be the last of your podcast, though. Embrace this as an opportunity. Be like, hey, you know what? I finished Beatdown. I finished Long Island stuff. Interview people from all over. Interview people from all sorts of different scenes. Talk to people about all sorts of different topics. Like, we're not all just like one thing. Like, like my whole life doesn't revolve around Beatdown. I love it, and I can talk about it forever.
Of course.
Spend over an hour doing that.
Yeah.
But I love wine.
I love beer. I love fermentation. I love literature. I love art. I love discussing philosophical ideas. I love Eastern religions and cultures and philosophies. Like, I'm a huge, I wouldn't say practitioner, but a student and studier of Taoism. I think Taoism is one of the most fascinating philosophical, you know, branches of thought that there is, a school of thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may be contradictory to be in a band. It's all about violence and crime, but there's more to life than, you know, what you say in the lyrics and stuff. Sure. At the end of the day, it's music.
Yeah.
And you have to feel it. You have to be about it. But that shouldn't be your only defining thing. And I hope that maybe somebody listens to this and they're like, you know, I love Beatdown, but I don't know if I can be about it. I like, you know, whatever else. I like bicycles. I like painting. I like studying Twilight fan fiction, whatever it is. Embrace it. Who gives a shit? If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, don't deal with it. Be yourself.
Yo, man. Amen. I think we're gonna end it right there, bro.
It sounds perfect.
That was awesome, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. I can't wait to make it out to Long Island. I know we'll be out there soon.
Yeah.
Not too soon, but I can definitely say we'll be out there soon.
All right. We're waiting for you.
Sick.
All right. We out.
I go hard in the motherfucking paint, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga. What the fuck you thinkin', nigga? I won't die for this shit or what the fuck I say. Front yard, broad day with the SK. See Gucci, that's my motherfucking nigga. I hang in the jail with them hit squad killers. Walk a flock of flame on the hood ass nigga. Riding real slow, bending corners, my nigga. Got a main bitch, got a mistress, a couple of girlfriends, I'm so rich. Keep my dick hard and keep me smoking. You get bills free, shouting no joking. And what I stand for, bricks war. I'ma die for this shouter, man, I swear to God. In the trap with some killers and some hood niggas. Where you at? Where you trying to play, hood nigga? Keep this shit 300, put that shit on my hood. Crips fucking with me, G's in the vice lord. Essays in the middle, freestyle off the dome. Three squad, walk a flock of flame, is fucking home. I go hard in the motherfucking paint, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga, what the fuck you thinkin', nigga? I won't die for this shit or what the fuck I said. Front yard, broad day with the SK. See Gucci, that's my motherfucking nigga. I hang in the jail with them hit squad killers. Walk a flock of flame on the hood ass nigga. Riding real slow, bending corners, my nigga. What's up, Quincy nigga? What's up, fuck nigga? Black out on that nigga. Make your mama's mama with you. Hope you got your killers with you. Hope you got your niggas with you. Hope your goons riding with you. They gon' fucking miss you, nigga. Nigga, what a attitude like Easy Q. When my little brother died, I said, fuck school. I picked the burner up and I grabbed some marijuana. 2 years later, screaming out, Your Honor. Glock down the SK if he want the beat. Shouted point blank range, I put your ass to sleep. Shouted talk is cheap, so watch what you say. Broad day and a hand like this shit legal. I go hard in the motherfucking paint, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga, what the fuck you thinkin', nigga? I won't die for this shit or what the fuck I say. Front yard, broad day with the SK. See Gucci, that's my motherfucking nigga. I hang in the jail with them hit squad killers. Walk a flock of flame on the hood ass nigga. Riding real slow in the corners, my nigga. Fuck em. I go hard in the motherfucking paint, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga. What the fuck you thinkin', nigga? I won't die for this shit or what the fuck I say. Front yard, broad day with the SK. See Gucci, that's my motherfucking nigga. I hang in the jail with them hit squad killers. Walk a flock of flame on the hood ass nigga. Riding real slow, bending corners, my nigga.